The topic of Gaza Corner tonight has to do with Keith Ellison and also the Anti-Defamation League. I will refer to the Anti-Defamation League as ADL. The Anti-Defamation League has a mission. If you go to their website and go to About, you'll find the quote. Their mission is to stop the defamation of the Jewish people and to secure justice and fair treatment to all, unquote. In my opinion, the Anti-Defamation League not only does not adhere to its own mission, but is itself an engine of defamation in the form of character assassination, where anyone who criticizes Israel is a candidate for ADL targeted charges of anti-Semitism or viewed to be unfit for a political appointment in the case of Representative Keith Ellison. It should come as no surprise that the ADL's latest target is Keith Ellison, who until recently, and maybe still, I'm not sure, either was or still is considered to be the front runner to become the next chair of the Democratic National Committee, which I'll refer to as the DNC. He's got a lot of heavyweight backing, including Bernie, Elizabeth, as in Warren, and mainstream Democrats, such as the outgoing Senate leader Harry Reid and the incoming Senate minority leader Chuck Schumer. The ADL, along with the usual suspects, Alan Dershowitz, Fox News, CNN. In fact, we linked, if you go to the playlist, you'll find the links to Gaza Corner, including a CNN hit piece. They drudged up 20-year-old news with this headline: Representative Keith Ellison faces renewed scrutiny over past ties to a Nation of Islam, comma, defense of anti-Semitic figures, unquote. And many right-wing Jewish organizations have gotten in line to throw mud at Ellison, including the Zionist Organization of America, ZOA, as they whip up a fury to discredit Ellison, who is a five-term congressman. He was the first Muslim member in Congress, the first African-American to represent Minnesota in Congress. He could become the first Muslim to win a position in U.S. national political leadership. And to be fair, moderate Jewish voices such as J Street and J.J. Goldberg, who's the editor of The Forward, and others have been vocal in countering these hit pieces on Ellison. To quote from a recent J.J. Goldberg opinion piece, which is linked at the playlist, quote, there's been a furious effort by Jewish activists in the last week or two to block him on the grounds that he's anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, or both. Of course, if the image, this is still quoting J.J. Goldberg, of course, if the image of Ellison that's been laid out for us in the last few days were remotely true, any effort to stop him would be justified, but it isn't. To make the case work, though, you have to ignore the considerably larger body of evidence showing him to be supportive of Israel and its right to defend itself and of U.S. support for Israel. JJ points out, to find them, simply go to YouTube, plug in the search words, Keith Ellison, E-L-L-I-S-O-N, and Israel. J.J. Goldberg believes forces such as the Anti-Defamation League are ironically, potentially galvanizing anti-Semitism with its smearing of Ellison. Quote, if the campaign were to succeed at this point, it would be easy to make the case that the Jews, he puts in quotes, had blocked the advance of an African-American and a Muslim to a deserved leadership post. That would likely stir resentment and reinforce those old rumors about Jews controlling American politics by bullying and strong-arming whoever we don't like. Continuing the quote, "The right couldn't have done a better job to fan the flames of anti-Semitism among America's rising minorities if they planned it that way," unquote. What's curious to me is Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt wrote an opinion piece on November 25th, it's right at the ADL website, quote, "As a 501c3, we will not endorse or reject individuals for such a position." This was in the middle of an opinion piece talking about Ellison's quest to be chair of the DNC. But then on December 1st, Greenblatt inexplicably contradicts himself and that of the ADL by writing a press release that Ellison should be disqualified from consideration. Quote, "New information recently has come to light that raises serious concerns about whether Representative Ellison faithfully could represent the Democratic Party's traditional support for a strong and secure Israel. In a speech recorded in 2010 to a group of supporters, Representative Ellison is heard suggesting that American foreign policy in the Middle East is driven by Israel." And he quotes Ellison in the press release, quote, "The United States foreign policy in the Middle East is governed by what is good or bad through a country of 7 million people, a region of 350 million all turns on a country of 7 million. Does that make sense? Is that logic, right? When the Americans who trace their roots back to those 350 million get involved, everything changes," unquote. ADL's Greenblatt then goes on. He was quoting Ellison there, but his own quote is, "Representative Ellison's remarks are both deeply disturbing and disqualifying. His words imply that U.S. foreign policy is based on religiously or national origin-based special interests rather than simply on America's best interests," unquote. And this is me speaking. You can argue whether it's in the U.S. best interests to support a racist apartheid regime that tries to sell a narrative of being a beacon of democracy, equality, tolerance, and pluralism. But that's a topic for another day. In response to the ADL's press release, Ellison wrote, quote, "My record proves my deep and long-lasting support for Israel, and I have always fought anti-Semitism, racism, sexism, and homophobia, the same values embodied by the Anti-Defamation League," unquote. The ADL changed its position on Ellison based on the quote I just said that was within the press release in the ADL website. That particular passage was a 36-second excerpted audio clip unearthed by the Investigative Project on Terrorism. The Investigative Project on Terrorism. I went to their website. They tout themselves as, quote, "the world's most comprehensive data center on radical Islamic terrorist groups." Chew on that for a bit. Ellison, in an open letter in response to ADL's Jonathan Greenblatt's press release, disputed the accuracy of the recording snippet, saying it was, quote, "selectively edited and taken out of context." He explained that the quote in question was a response to a question on how Americans with roots in the Middle East could engage in a more effective way in the political process. Quote, "My response was meant to encourage those in attendance to increase their level of involvement and effectiveness," unquote. Ellison also noted that Stephen Emerson, who brought the 36-second edit to light, was called, quote, "an anti-Muslim extremist," unquote, by the Southern Poverty Law Center. In effect, Ellison said, as J.J. Goldberg of The Forward points out, quote, "in speaking to an American Muslim audience, Ellison's using Israel as an example to emulate, not to denigrate, so that American Muslims can learn to have greater influence on American policy, unquote. The intent of this 36-second soundbite has gotten so twisted it could derail Ellison's candidacy to be chair of the Democratic National Committee. And in this age of fake news and misinformation, it's hardly shocking. But what really freaks the ADL out is the writing on the wall. The ADL's Greenblatt acknowledged in a November 25th opinion piece, quote, recent public opinion polls show the Republicans are significantly more supportive of Israel than Democrats, reversing a reality that existed for many years after the formation of the Jewish state. And there are other dynamics. This past summer, longtime critics of Israel were invited to shape the Democratic Party platform. He's alluding to Cornel West, among others. And Ellison was part of it, part of the contingent. Continuing his quote, we also saw some individuals who support delegitimization campaigns against Israel sitting alongside serious candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination. In light of all these concurrent factors, many good people fairly ask whether the party will maintain its longstanding, balanced commitment to the Jewish state, unquote. Its long-term commitment of balanced commitment? Balanced? Is he for real? When has the U.S. treatment of Israel and Palestine ever been balanced? Ever? What the Anti-Defamation League is saying is they're scared to death that the unconditional bond, the unconditional bond with Israel is eroding. If balance is really what the ADL believes in, then Ellison is truly their best hope. Ellison has critics on the left and critics on the right. And I swear to you, this is true. Even the Islamic State has him on a death wish list. So he must be doing something right. Ellison has been criticized by the anti-boycott, divestment, and sanction known as BDS movement. And he's been criticized by the BDS advocates. In reality, he is apparently quietly anti-BDS. Critics complain he was part of the five-person Bernie Sanders contingent, which included, as I mentioned, Cornel West, to push for language in the Democratic platform that aimed at criticizing the Israeli occupation of the West Bank, demanding an end to illegal settlements, which, of course, has been consistent with U.S. policy up until now, it may change with Trump, and supporting the rebuilding of the Gaza Strip. All those attempts failed because they were stymied by the Clinton representatives. Not even the word occupation could make it into the final draft. Yet party leaders such as Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer publicly credit Ellison as a leader in turning back that very effort. You can get dizzy from this stuff. But one thing is clear. Ellison has a long record of both supporting Israel and being sensitive to Palestinian rights. Ellison has supported more than $27 billion with a B, in aid to Israel, mostly military. Just this week, Ellison voted to extend sanctions against Iran, allowing the U.S. to punish Iran should Iran fail to live up to the terms of the nuclear deal. He also lambasted the Iranian regime for former President Ahmadinejad's Holocaust denial. And he also helped with an ethical complaint against a Minnesota representative who denied that Nazis persecuted gays during the Holocaust. He's a big, staunch advocate for Holocaust education. And he took a leadership role in having high-profile Muslim and Jewish leaders in the U.S. and France write a letter to Hamas leader Khaled Mashal calling for the release of Gilad Shalit, who was eventually released. Ellison even voted for a resolution condemning Hamas rocket attacks against Israel, despite voicing regret that it didn't even mention Gaza-Palestinian deprivation. So much for balance. On the other hand, many pro-Israeli supporters do not support Ellison because he strongly supported the Iran nuclear deal. He also pissed off folks on the right and the left when he said during Israel's war on Gaza in January 2009, quote, "I believe every country has a right to defend itself." But he was unwilling to vote for or against a congressional resolution supporting Israel's Gaza assault because it should also mention Palestinian civilian deaths, which it did not. In January of 2012, he urged funding be restored to the Palestinian Sesame Street, which the U.S. had pulled support. He warned the danger of Hamas hate and extremism filling the vacuum in Palestinian children's TV. And as I wind this down, he also upset many Israel supporters when he voted against emergency funding for Israel's Iron Dome anti-rocket defense during Israel's 2014 51-day war on Gaza, despite having consistently supported Iron Dome up until that point. His reason, quote, "because a ceasefire is what we should prioritize now," unquote. He had the nerve to write an op-ed in the Washington Post on July 29, 2014, titled "End the Gaza Blockade to Achieve Peace." That upset a lot of Israeli supporters. And lastly, Ellison again drew attention when, while touring the West Bank and Israel with the J Street delegation, he tweeted a photograph of a sign in a barred window reading, and this was in Hebron, quote, "Caution, this was taken by Israel. You are entering apartheid." And he tweeted, quote, "I saw this as I walked down a street in Hebron. While window opens to street, no Palestinian can walk or drive on it." We have five links to this Gaza Corner at the Tangents playlist. The music of Gaza Corner features the Oudist Issa Morad, M-U-R-A-D, raised in Bethlehem and living in France currently. And this is from his new CD on 91.7. The Gaza Corner music tonight from Palestinian Udist Issa Murad, M-U-R-A-D, Issa is I-S-S-A, born in Bethlehem and lives in France, has a very inclusive, cross-pollinating musical sensibility. I particularly enjoyed the bansuri, a flute, on the recordings that we were listening to. And the bansuri flutist I wrote down, and now I can't find my piece of paper because I'm a knucklehead. Here we go. Rishab Brassani on the bansuri flute. It's an import, not easy to find, but we will get a link on the playlist, I hope, Harry, right? Maybe? Yeah, he seems a nod of confidence that he'll pull it off. The CD is called Jousseaur, J-O-U-S-S-O-U-R, J-O-U-S-S-O-U-R. It is new from Issa Murad.